Shamati, letters, letter number one. To my friend, I'm surprised that it's been so long since I've received any knowledge of you, of your health. Certainly, you need confidence, and I think that is because of the thoughts and the external opinions that you get through the pipes. That are clinging while you're in a surrounding that is not going with our spirit and our way. And where the alien thoughts are already in your authority, meaning that the thoughts did not have any authority and strength, where you have already cancelled them and threw them beneath your feet, and you can already trample them, meaning although the alien thoughts are still in your body, but they have no control. This is the matter of Shabbat. Although the shells are in the world, for the end of correction is not, the correction is not over yet. When darkness will shine as light, but the alien thoughts belong in the Nukva Tehoma Rabba, which is way down, and they have no grip on man. But when one comes out of the private property to the public domain, meaning when the alien thoughts are taken out, when the thoughts and the works are taken to the public property, that it is for the public to look at them, and also if you put the thoughts of people of public domain into the private property, your own private property, then it is called desecration of the Sabbath, meaning that they give place to the awakening of those shells that have already lost their strength, which was already at the Nukva Tehoma Rabba, way down. Now they rise into your thoughts, and then you do not think that those alien thoughts are the sharpness, acuteness of external people, that this is your own doing, that now you cleaved, you're clinging to the truth, meaning that you have this clear idea, and now the conclusions that you draw are 100% right. And until now, everything you did was only because you did not clarify things properly, as is worthy for a man who wants to take the path of truth. And from now on, you should already walk in the ordinary way for people who carry on in with the flow of the world. And the results are pretty much known. And although it is not my conduct to speak, much less write of these things, but I will change my way, although I know that it will be of no use to you, just because I want to save my own soul. We had a party on Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot Tu Bishvat, which is on the month of Shvat, that the world is judged for the worse or for the better, because the month of Shvat is the fifth month in the months of the winter, that by the curses that you hear of the Torah and Mitzvot, when they come to the fifth aspect, which is the Sfira of Hod, fifth Prina, which is the Sfira of Hod, you have to correct it and be acquitted, that from the ve, withering, it will become Hod. It's a reversing of the letters in Hebrew. And then from the worse becomes better. When all the five b'chinot from Chesed to Hod are extended. Because I've said that a world of grace shall be built, that the light of mercy is called above reason, And only there is a blessing. That is why on Tu B'Shvat, 15th of Shvat, they make a blessing for the fruits. As Baal HaSulam said, that the only difference between holiness and impurity is in the fruit. That by the work there are fruits, whereas another god is infertile and does not bear fruit. And the success in bringing fruit is only by mercy. And then you attain a tree which bears fruit. Because is a tree of the field, man. That only by the way that we receive from Baal HaSulam, we get the fruit called fertilization. But by the fruit, we're always in a state of, like a young boy. And this is called, those who hope for the Lord will exchange strength, because only that is called help from above. Meaning when a person comes to a state where he can go either way, and man cannot see which is truth, only then does he need the help from above. And then he needs the mercy from above. God's words. We finished the first round of Shlavei Sulam. So now we're going to read Igrot. Rabash says that only when one seeks the truth, the fruit, that we have 15th of Shvat, when the attributes of winter and summer mingle. And on the one hand, it should bear fruit. On the other hand, when will it be? When man is in the middle and doesn't know which way to go and doesn't have anything to decide with. Meaning the more he searches in himself from the books, with his understanding, his experience, he's looking for a way to decide. And he thinks that the new situation that awaits him will come out of his right mind and inquire his knowledge. And here he comes to a situation where he is completely lost. He doesn't know how to get to the upper degree, which is how the above reason is built. That only by surrendering to the upper degree he attains it. What does it mean that the right line and the left line are balanced in the midline? How do I proceed? It's not that I balance this and that. It is each nature, the right and the left, want to nullify the other. And if I choose one of them, it'll not be right. It'll be not in the direction leading to the goal. It'll be turning either to the right or to the left. If I'm in between, then they cancel one another. So how do I examine? How do I advance? What path do I take? It turns out that the middle line doesn't have any foundation to it. If a person finds the way, the middle point, the exact middle point, he is dependent on the upper degree. Like in a scale, when you hang when you hang the scale, and then you put two weights, equal weights, on either end, and the point that holds the scale is above those two lines, those two hands of the scale. That's what happened to us. When does a person find the right middle point? When he goes not with the right, not with the left, he's exactly in the middle. He investigates all the way down into the middle. See, he sees that they cancel one another. He can't rely on that. And there he finds his grip on the in the upper degree, and he hangs himself on that. And that's the point where he feels that he's dependent on the upper one above reason. That to the extent that he can make this calculation, meaning he is dependent on the upper degree, to the extent that he is dependent on the upper degree, and to the extent that he can put in the right and left into that situation, add them, that will determine his degrees of growth in the upper degree. That was the second half of the letter. What was the first what was the first half? Suddenly you need confidence and strengthening, and I think it's because of the thoughts and the external ideas that you get when you come to a surrounding that is not according to our way. So there's connection between his disciples and the external world. It's not that the this physical contact. Say I get 20 people who come to see me during the day. Yes, within 2 hours. What kind of contact do I have with them? I can laugh with them, cry with them, but they do not concern my way. They have no contact with my way. All the questions that they ask, even the external ones that they ask, I say nothing more. Only health. And if anyone asks about Kabbalah, then I see if it's the kind that can even be considered a disciple. A disciple being a person who can listen. And if he can, I answer him. If it's just useless arguments. I remember 15 or 20 years ago, people would argue with me. They would come and argue, you have too many books in your living room. There's too much Kabbalah here. They said, this is too much. You need a little less. Things like that. Today that it's completely gone. So foreigners are not people that we speak of that we speak to during the day. It's people who can influence my way. Those are the foreigners, are the aliens, or that they speak not of spirituality but of their own Torah, but it'll put alien thoughts into my mind. Not exactly how I should think and how I should go. That's why he writes here that people who have some kind of contact with Torah, either externally or internally, I should be careful of them according to how much they can confuse me and just be with myself. But with everything else, there's nothing alien there. It's just like a person being in nature. It can't harm him in any way. This is, the alien thoughts that you get when you're in surroundings that is not according to our way. And where the alien thoughts were already under your authority, meaning that the thoughts did not have any power, that you already cancelled them and threw them beneath your feet. That you can already walk on them and trample them. Meaning, although the alien thoughts are still in your body, but they have no authority. And this is a matter of Shabbat. That although there are shells in the world, that the correction is not over yet, but the alien thoughts belong in the Nukva Tehoma Rabba, way, way down. And they have no grip on man. But when one exits the private property, meaning when it's not a situation of Shabbat, that he gets guarding from above, but he gets obstructions, meaning that the alien thoughts and that the thoughts and the works go out into public domain for the public to look at. And also, if you put the thoughts of public domain people into your own private property, and it's even worse. A person should examine if he's in control or are they in control. Sometimes you have to examine something that's outside of you, but it's got to be under your control. I think that I'm in a separate cell of glass, and from that cell I look at the world, and through this armed glass nothing can come to me. And then I can be in front of an audience and hear what happens there, but it doesn't get to me. This way I keep myself away from there, above them, always above them. The minute I begin to lower myself and say, I don't understand what they're saying, or is there anything here that I should react to, it becomes surrender. All the more so if they enter your thoughts there, it is called a desecration of Shabbat. It says that a righteous should never leave the Shabbat, that the obstructions that he gets during the week should be added to the awakening from above that he gets on Shabbat, and then he comes to the next phase, that the next week is higher than this week. So one should concentrate only on himself and the Creator, and he should absorb the thoughts only to the point where they do not take him away from the thought of the Creator. And so the alien thoughts should only expand my contact with this unique, with the Creator. So what is the desecration of Shabbat? That you give a place to the awakening of those shells that have already ceased to have power. They now rise into your thoughts. And then you do not think that they are alien thoughts. You do not think that those alien thoughts are the thoughts of other people. That this is your own doing, that now you see the truth. Because now you see the real clarification, and now the conclusions that you draw are actual 100% truth. And until now, everything you did was only because you didn't fully examine things as is worthy of a person who wants to take the path of truth. And from now on, you should already take the conventional way for people who go with the flow. So the alien thoughts take control of man so much that before he was not on the right way, but now he's certain that he is on the right way, and he can't see that it is now that he's making a mistake, and that he received thoughts from people who have no contact with spirituality. They just confused him. And it happens to us because the problem is that if we have some basis in this world, the more this basis is fanatic, the stronger it gets. The more the idea is popular, there's no criticism there, and then it's very strong. If you have doubts, you just suppress them, and that's it. So there's support by the collective. You have no doubts because you don't put in new ideas, and you don't question and investigate. Therefore, for us who are the opposite, we go above reason. Our point is hanging in the air somewhere. So the alien thoughts can easily confuse us, and they get support from our situation. Meaning, we're searching naturally for a foundation, not something above reason, some kind of grip in this world, to somehow to have something certain, something real, some basic calculation. So we're naturally happy with thoughts that have a basis in this world, any thoughts that are not depending, that do not depend on the individual but on the collective, meaning that all our thoughts support it, so much so that we easily go from demanding support from the Creator to demanding support from the collective, and then we give a sigh of relief, and that finally we're taking the right path. So much so that he says, that now we can examine as is worthy of a person who wants to take the path of truth. And the results are pretty much known. And although it is not my conduct to speak, much less write of these things, but I will change my way, although I know it will be of no use. Why will it be useless? Because only experience, it doesn't matter how many times you say to students, only their own experience will show them that you have to come to a situation where you can really decide once and for all that anything less than above reason will not be taken into account. That his measurement will from now on be, his first measurement is this above my reason? Is there nothing in my mind that supports this idea? How does a person see that it's an alien thought? If alien thought is something that's not, that's anyone speaking to me, it's not myself, so I naturally reject it. When people speak, they speak. Maybe I'll listen afterwards. there's a mechanism that by nature I can stop myself and examine. Here there's no problem. If a person tells me something in favor of my way or against it, I naturally know that he's an alien, however sophisticated he is. Although we see with our past friends here how much we can't control it. But the problem is that alien thoughts are called my own thoughts. That my thoughts to begin with are not in contact with the Creator. They're thoughts that I get after the breaking of the soul of the first man, where a part of my soul is broken, and they're in me. But that's why they're called alien, because they're broken, and their whole direction is aiming for my own pleasure, for my own benefit, against the direction toward the Creator. That's why it is called public domain, which is a public, and they're all for me. Public is more than one. It can be for him and for me. That's already an alien thought. As opposed to the private property, which is just the Creator, and me included in him. Like they say that in Atzilut, there can be only vessels of the soul or vessels of reception that are included in the vessels of the soul. So it turns out that the problem is the war with what surfaces in me every moment. All kinds of calculations and desires that I naturally regard as my own. And I take them into account in my work without any pre-examination if they're okay or not. I don't take what I already have in me as something alien, harmful, bad. That's a problem. How can I prevent it? Never leave the private property. If I catch the Creator and I remain with him or in him as much as possible in mind and heart, so everything that pops up in me, I see it from there, from the perspective of the Creator. That's how I look at myself. And then I look at everything in me as alien. And it's true, in fact. Because the point in the heart that I get is a point of God above. It's one point that I can get a grip on. If I begin to add to this point the other thoughts and everything in me, so it's as though I take into the private property everything that's in the public domain. And that's the correction. That's why I keep saying that everything you do, first of all, catch the Creator, make it strong, emotionally, intellectually, whatever, as much as possible, and never leave it. And then everything that surfaces is an obstruction, or viewed as an obstruction, everything can somehow be added to it. How can the group help me? The group can help you in that. It can only support your work in general. It's a personal work between man and the Creator. It's one-to-one. The group is the surrounding that should support a person, should help him, where it finds strength and support, actual support, high spirits, toward an uplift toward the goal, strength to surrender himself before the goal. And that's it. The group doesn't help while you're one-on-one with the Creator. The group is in you, so to speak. We said that you have to look at the Creator through the group, meaning it's an examination. That you're really, you can take them as inner support. If you can do that, then you're headed toward the Creator. Because we have a problem. Who's the Creator? How can I describe him? I can describe him correctly if either he or the group, it is the same for me. That's the test. Because the group is a force of the soul, of the I, of that unites all the souls. So if I have a group before me, and the idea of the group is to unite all the desires for one goal, and that idea for me, I accept it. So within that idea, I'm certain that I can find the attribute of the Creator. And that's the idea that I should long for. And if I constantly choose a better group, like he advises us in the article, The Freedom, meaning that I search for this idea that will bring me, give me more strength. That's the meaning of choosing a better group. It's the same group, but I want to get more of its strength. It is a fundamental thing. And by the way, in that, there's a great difference between, let's say, how men work and how women work, because women have nothing to do with this work in the group, this kind of work, only as support for the man. And men only have to support their group, their surroundings. It's a tremendous difference here. When you begin to understand this means, from here on, it's really, you see the difference. There's a question why women don't need group. It says because they get it from the man. They're not dependent on one another. So this means that the group is very important and can also be something very dangerous. Yes, you're right. It depends what the group is and what you get from it. It might be that the group is very strong and very good, and you come and you don't even know. You know that they get together to eat and to pass the time, print a few posters, perhaps, and circulate something. You get only the external stuff. So we call it a factory, a plant. It's also an important part, because from that point on, you can begin to see more internal things. But it all depends. The group has to be a group of people with one goal, one idea, and a common understanding of how to perform it. The closer they are in that, the stronger they are. That's speaking from the perspective of the surrounding environment itself. But man has to see it, and has to support it, and has to feel it, and wants to get strength from that. It's a reciprocal thing. The question is also, how much the group is also dangerous, because if you disrespect it, you ruin the one means you have for advancement. And you sin against something that the Creator really places in your hands. We should regard group as the Creator that prepared the environment for him. So you disrespect that. So you will get the response from him accordingly, according to the general law of collective law of reality. If you don't follow it, when it tells you to use society in order to advance, it begins to act in you through its posterior, and you'll feel trouble, you'll experience trouble and stretching of time, etc. The problem is that we can't agree on how to support one another. Pride doesn't let us come close to get to one another. And it's dangerous, because man is asked, man is demanded of only according to the possibilities that he gets. If I take a kid from the outside who grew up in the street, he never went to school, he never saw anything but, I don't know, people in the market. So what can I ask of him? What can I demand of him? But if I gave him, if I prepared him and I educated him, I can afterwards demand something of him. That's the case with us. We're brought to all the good places. You're given the books, you're given the chance, everything. And then what? The collective law of reality, to bring everything to the goal, relates to us according to our development, according to what he gave us to it in order to develop. So we can't say anything. And those alien thoughts that a person has to handle, first of all, the group can support him in that, because he's just immersed in his own nature. And only society can awaken in him, reawaken in him, the angle to see himself from the side and support him from the other side, from the public, from the private property, that's the important stuff, that's where we are supposed to be. Only society can imprint this awareness in man. For a person to come to it alone, it takes years. I've seen people who deal with it for decades and never made any progress. Well, they did, but it took them decades. I told you about this person who told me once that this is a very hard way, difficult way, that it takes 20 to 30 years to maybe get something out of it. When I told Obash about it, he wanted to kill him. How can you say that? This is poison. You can't even listen to it. But he's right. That guy was right. That if you don't use what you get from above correctly, it can take even longer than that. A person can stretch that time over decades. It'll not be hundreds of years like outside, but that's how it is. Question: in what are we behind compared to where we were supposed to be? It says that a person should always ask himself, when will my deeds come to the deeds of my father? my father being the upper degree, where I am in adhesion with everything that I have now. I cling to the Creator. Meaning what I have now is certainly corrected to the next degree, and then there I'll get more desires to correct. That's my father's. Fathers are the upper degree, sons are the lower degree. That's what we should aspire for. You want me to show you that you have to be this way or that way? How can I do that? All my thoughts, my whole heart, has to be concentrated on one spot. The heart and the mind should be concentrated on private property. And in that, with my whole stature, with all my desires, everything in me, to be in that completely corrected. Meaning, whatever thoughts I cannot use, I clean them, I throw them out. They're like garbage. Like litter. And the rest are actively included in private property. And they help me to grip to the Creator, to the upper degree. That gives me my stature. A little bit of katnut, perhaps a little bit of katlut, and then I have a potsuf. What is it made of? Of alien thoughts. Then I can correct them, and through them, to hold on to the upper one, through my own above reason. That's the private property. The upper one, as opposed to me. What is this thing of being dependent on the upper one with above reason? Can you picture what is the upper one, lower one, Gogatana Chap? He's a Chap in my Gogatana. So first of all, my work is to discover this Chap of the upper one, Chap de Elyon. The idea, what it means to be upper one. And then search in me every force that I have to grip to him. I begin by just fantasizing what is the upper one, this idea. I should not let it out of my mind and my heart. Search for all kinds of chances to strengthen, to feel and to think that I'm in contact with him. Now, every moment from now on, I should try not to lose this. On the contrary, this contact will always remain, and I'll get used to being in its presence all the time, that it'll be in the background all the time, and it'll not disturb anything in my life. After that, say when this is the background for me, now I want to know how I can attach myself more to this background, relate myself to it, become closer and closer to it, to this idea of always being united in thought and desire with the upper one, with the Creator. And then I begin to do the opposite, to gladly accept those obstructions. Now I see them as supports that are sent to me in a certain order and pace and type that is correct in order for me to strengthen my contact with the upper one. There are thoughts that strengthen my contact with the upper one. Some of those thoughts I have to just kick out, and some I can just absorb them. I can somehow adopt them and use them to strengthen my contact with him. So thoughts that will come to me as alien thoughts, I turn them into support. There are all kinds. Now, what is the work? The work is very special. Now that I'm telling you this, you just accept it as a new opinion. When a person wants to adopt a new opinion, that's how he works. If we look at what happens to us, say my mother and father want me to be a doctor, but I want to play soccer. So then, now they begin to penetrate this idea into me. So I have to seek for support in me for being a doctor. This work is within reason. Meaning, the question is, with what engine, what software, what formula I examine and sort these alien thoughts out and relate them to me, how I relate to them. It turns out that my attitude toward them should be that the more I grip to the upper one above my reason, meaning here there could be a mistake also. I go against my mind and hold on to the upper one. But it's really not against my own opinion, it's against the opinion of my family, Republic opinion, but in fact what I hold on to is my own inner pride. There are many people who say, I don't care about anything, I want to sit here and study, I don't want to work. It's only pride, it's got nothing to do with above reason. It's just within reason that a person thinks it's comfortable and he finds justification for himself. Above reason is, in fact, the approach by which I see which thoughts are alien and which are not. We should also see the examinations, as Pala Salam writes in the fourth item of the introduction to Talmud Sosfilat, that the Creator places man's hand on the good fortune and says, take this for yourself. And man should only strengthen himself in that. Extend this good fortune on. From this point, he should mark all the way to the goal. What does it mean to strengthen himself? In each and every point on the way, I should find where the Creator puts my hand on the good fortune and strengthen myself in that point. Grip it with all of me. And each and every moment the Creator puts me in the good fortune. every point in the way. It's not that he puts me there once and that's it. But the next time, in the next point that I want to stay on track, stay on this straight line to the goal, I can't see the goal. It's not like shooting a rifle. How will I know that my next point and my current point will create a line that will finally bring me to the goal exactly? Here too, I should find the fortune that the Creator gives me and strengthen myself in that. It's each and every moment. It's something I have to do every minute. How does the Creator bring me this fate? It says that within this darkness and kind of screwed up life, He gives man a place of tranquility. That's so corporal. But if I look at it in a corporal way, I can't aim myself to a place of bestowal and giving. So the strengthening that I should do in this point is my work in turning the support from my will to receive to support by the will to bestow, by the upper one. It's like the Creator gives me some how shall I put it? He gives me a little bit of an illumination from above that is not, it's illegal to shine on me in my own situation because I'm immersed in the will to receive, but He gives it to me. Some kind of a spark of light. And I feel this light in my will to receive as good. Now I have to turn this grip in that spark. I have to turn it into a desire to be in a desire to bestow. That's the meaning of strengthening. You see? I can see a little more. It's a good sign. How should I relate to this group of friends? I don't know how to answer that. How can I make, where can I find the place where I can exactly see what is above reason, yes? Is that what you're asking? What should I make this clarification with? Yes, I see before me a pile of, seeds, and I have to sort them out. Those are good and those are bad. That's sorting. They tell me the lowest is. These, the ones with these flaws are good ones, and the ones with these flaws and other flaws or no flaws are good. So there's a condition here. A formula that I can follow and sort this way. So what is above reason? What is below reason now for me? How do I know? You tell me of something I never thought before. Now I think maybe it's okay, maybe it's not okay, maybe this guy's crazy. How do I examine it? Is everything that is against my mind called above reason? The thing is that above reason is completely regardless of the mind, of the reason. It doesn't follow the mind. You don't check the pros and cons, if it works out for you or not. Because the mind can be twisted any way we want. Within 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 years, it doesn't matter. I can change it. I can begin to think like any person. I put myself in a certain society and everything changes to the opposite way. Opposite opinion. Above reason in spirituality is called that I determine how I relate to spirituality the way the upper one does. In fact, above reason or within reason are things that a person feels in his heart, not in his mind. Because our vessel in spirituality is the heart. It's not the mind. Therefore, something that is not acceptable by my heart, that is above my heart, above my will to receive. And I can't accept it. I naturally reject it. It is something that's alien to me because it belongs to the soul. And the heart can't agree with it. That's called above reason. It's above the reason of the heart. Question. Isn't? Oh, it says that the heart understands. The heart is understanding. It is reason, not the mind. We think that the mind is exists in of itself. It is only there to support the heart and examine what's in the heart. But in and of itself, what can it calculate? We don't understand how empty the mind is. The mind would be if the heart didn't place the feeling in it. The mind would have no data and no software how to process the data. The mind is like an empty computer, empty of software and data. And data to be processed. The heart gives it to it. Delete everything in man's mind, put him in a different society, and he'll begin to fill himself up with everything in the other society. There's no problem here. The mind has nothing independent. That's why our mind, our reason, when we say mind and heart, this mind is within the heart as well. It is the part of the heart that understands, so to speak. How do I know which point is the upper point? We don't usually answer questions that relate to our personal thing. Inner things have no words, just a feeling, just something a person has to go into, and then he'll understand what it's about. Everything else is by personal experience. I have nothing to add on that. I don't want to use words that each person will understand how he will completely differently, not the way I want him to. We don't have common language in that. Reason is what my heart understands and agrees with. That's the reason, that's the mind. My whole reality, my mind, my opinion, below it is when I accept an opinion or an idea and accept it without criticism. I hear an opinion, and without criticism, I put it into my heart, into my mind, into my reason. The attitude to the new thing that comes to me, that I put it, that I accept it without criticism, that's called below reason. I just insert it into myself without criticism. If I insert it with criticism, it is called within reason. If I examine it and see that it is against my mind, and still I accept it, it is called above reason. Those three ways stand before me as alien, and how I relate to them determines how I accept them. And my acceptance, my reception of them, is divided in three ways. Below reason, within reason, above reason. And that's how we work all the time. Without criticism, so to speak. On above reason, below reason and within reason. Usually we do work within reason. Below reason, we work below reason if it's public opinion. And above reason, for that we have to have a personal effort. Not just a personal effort, but a godly effort. So, I can accept something below reason through the support of society instead of the Creator. And above reason, I can accept something only when the Creator supports me. And I myself work within reason according to my own mind and understanding. That's how it works. If something doesn't go exactly according to my mind, I need external support, either from the public or from the Creator, which is pretty much the same. There's a question, that there's a problem in the group, that everything comes to me, all the ideas, below reason, because I'm just included in it. After you're saying our work in a group is like being a part of a public, of a collective. And if I'm included there, I get all the opinions of that collective. To be included in this collective, is it above reason or below reason? You're saying it's below reason. Why? When I'm not part of it, when I'm not included in it, why do I go there in the first place? What do you mean you're there already? What kind of a public is it, collective is it? Maybe this group is a group of followers who came in to just pass the time. Or maybe they have a goal, but that goal is not bestowed. How can it be that I'm included in a group that wants to go to work in order to bestow, and I'm included in it below reason, if those ideas are above reason? There's a mistake here somewhere. I can't shut my eyes and just jump under the influence of the group, if the group itself is going above reason. Why? I can only shut my eyes. I can surrender myself under the public opinion. If public opinion gives me confidence, gives me support, satisfaction, then it is worthwhile for me to subdue my mind. And that's what I do. It's fanaticism. It's like everyone. I benefit this way because I gain support. But here, if I surrender myself toward a collective that is above reason, so I subdue my mind above the reason of the audience. In other words, I go above my own reason. How can it be any other way? For me to accept their opinion, their reason is above reason, meaning above the will to receive. So I have to begin to get this uplift above the will to receive. It's true that I have to come to the group in order for that to happen and subdue myself, my mind, to the group. Meaning, I have to subdue my own mind and use the group as support. Do you understand? So I have to work below reason toward the group. What for? In order to go above reason. In order to adopt this idea of above reason from them. I want them to convince me that it's worthwhile to go above reason. In order for them to convince me, I have to bring my head down. But to do what? To go above reason. What's the difference between Lishma and above reason? It's the same thing. How can I use those counsels when I'm in the will to receive? I don't. The counsels are just counsels. Oh, I didn't hear the question. How do I go from a spark to a whole stature? How do I add to the spark? Oh, I have to add to the spark the alien thoughts. And then from the spark, I'll get some kind of a fetus or an infant. It'll be me. In the meantime, I don't exist. There's just a spark that can be turned into a me. In the counsels, I thought you were asking about how do I turn the counsels that I receive and the will to receive? How do I turn them into the will to bestow? Because it's the opposite. It's the light that reforms. It turns things around in me. The work with zero and one is when I subdue my mind to the collective and tell myself that it's worthwhile to go above reason, that the Creator is greater than all other temptations that can be in this world, that's the greatest, that He is the greatest of them all. In my nature is the worst possible nature, those things I want to take from society, and by that I surrender my mind and want them to brainwash me. If I adopt that opinion that the Creator is the greatest and I with my current nature am the worst, and to come to Him is the most important and remain the way I am right now is impossible, that should give me a push to receive the upper degree above reason. I surrender my mind as zero to the group which is one in order to work above reason. Now you see how much these operations are opposite. I should constantly work on emphasizing this idea, the greatness of the Creator, and seeing myself as in a terrible situation, the recognition of evil, recognition of my attributes. What are my attributes? How opposite they are to the Creator. Because normally I regret my attributes like a thief. How wrong I am because I got caught. So I constantly regret my attributes because they're not good enough to give me a good life. I have to begin to relate them to the Creator. What is this evil in me? That's a little different. It's a different measurement.